أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم ومن يوت الحكمة فقد أوتي خيرا كثيرا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن للحسين محبة مكنونة في قلوب المؤمنين صلوات
اللهم صل
The month of Muharram has started and we are proud that we start our Islamic New Year with the zikr of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wassalam. And the subject of my speech is Insha'Allah, in these nights is the athar al-ma'rifa, the impacts of the ma'rifat and the in-depth recognition of the Imam of our time. It is very important that we commemorate the occasion of the martyrdom of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and that we hold the majalis al-adha and the gatherings where we do the dhikr and remembrance of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and transfer this value to our younger generation. One of the athar and impacts of ma'rifat, in Farsi we say shanakht, the in-depth recognition of the Imam alayhi salam. One of the athar of ma'rifat of the Imam is that if a mu'min has the ma'rifat, he will always do the dhikr of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. You can never imagine a person with ma'rifat forgetting the Imam. Because that's what our urafa say, that kullul khair ala babil Husayn. Every khair and goodness is at the door of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Jannat, the paradise, has 8 doors. And Jahannam, the hellfire, has 7 doors. And that's another very beautiful discussion of Islam, but that's not my subject of speeches. There's a very beautiful discussion of Islam to talk about why there are 7 doors for the hell, and why in the world do we find there are 8 doors for Jannah. It's a beautiful discussion of Islam. If Allah permits, sometime we can talk about the doors. But what is related to my subject and mawdu is the zikr of Imam Hussain, which is one of the asar of shanakht and ma'rifat. What is related to my subject is that one of the 8 doors of paradise is called Babul Hussain. See, the Majalis al-Aza of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam are the most important thing of our life. And because we learn the entire religion, Islam, from these Majalis al-Aza, the whole iman of a person, all the religion and its ma'arif and high-level teachings, our values, al-qiyam al-ilahiyya, arz-e-shayye islami, our ahkam, all the principles of Islam, all the concepts and nazariyat of the religion, we learn from the Majalis al-Aza. That's why our scholars say that we should never stop anybody from participating into the majalis. You find some people are holding majalis and they pick and choose the people. Okay, let us invite this person and let us not invite that person. Because he or she is not a good person in our opinion, so let us not invite him. This is a very incorrect behavior in Islamic perspective. When we are inviting somebody for the zikr of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, this zikr includes everyone. Everyone is invited, you know, and the largest people, our Urafa say, in the history of Islam, the largest miqdar and amount of human beings in the history of the religion Islam who were guided towards the path of hidayat and guidance were guided through Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. So he has the largest share of the hidayat for the people. No one received as much guidance as it is received through Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. So who are we to block the people from coming into the Majalis al-Aza? Everyone is invited. Everyone has a right to come. Everyone has a right to get the hidayat from Allah through Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam and his zikr. You know, it's narrated that Sahib al-Jawahir rahmatullahi alayhi is one of the greatest fuqaha in the glorious history of Shia religion, who has written down the biggest book of the fiqh of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam in 56 volumes. It serves like an encyclopedia. So anything you want to learn about the ilmul fiqh, anything you want to learn about ilmul fiqh, you just open up Jawahirul Kalam and you will find it. It's an encyclopedia. Everything is there. And he did his nazar, Sahib al-Jawahir, you know, rahmatullah alayh, he did his nazar towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day of his life, he is going to write down something for that book. And he did it until the book got completed. Including the day when he has his own son dying. His son died. It's very hard for a person when you have your son dying away, you are obviously, you know, sad. But he did not quit writing the Kitab al-Jawahir even on the day of the death of his own son. He fulfilled his nazar. So these 56 volumes, it's not easy to compile. Our fuqaha, you know, hafizahumullah ajma'in wa rahmatullah alal marhumin minhum. These people have done great and remarkable service for protecting the religion of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Sahib al-Jawahir was participating in a Majlis al-Aza, Roze Khuni, in a gathering for the dhikr of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and this khatib was reciting the Majlis al-Aza. And he was a very great and tahir person, you know. The kind of Majlis al-Aza you recite, it depends on your own taharatul qalb. If the khatib or the alim himself has taharatul qalb, it will provide the nuraniyat for the whole gathering. Isn't it right? If the alim or that khatib himself doesn't have that taharatul qalb, obviously what he say will have the similar wazn and value. So this person was a great person reading the with ikhlas. You know, what is counted in with Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is our ikhlas and taharat. If we have ikhlas in our qalb, if we have taharat in our qalb, this is what they buy from us. How we are doing sincerely for his sake. So we find this khatib was reading with so much ikhlas and taharat that Sahib al-Jawahir is one of the great personalities, you know, and so the walls of the Husayniyah were crying during Buka al-Husayn. Ayatullah al-Uzma Sheikh Ja'far al-Shustari rahmatullah alayh, one of the great urufa in our history, he used to say that everything cried for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, without exception. Everything of the universe, everything you can imagine in the universe cries for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Inshallah, in one of my speeches, I'm going to come about the subject of Buka as well. So I will talk on that subject later on. But I'm saying is that, Sahib al-Jawahir was present in this gathering, and this alim was reading the Majlis al-Aza. And he was such a mukhlis and tahir person that the walls were crying. The door, everything of the Husayni was crying along with him. If we have the taharat of the qalb, if we have the ikhlas, we can discover these things. If we have the hijabat and curtains of sins over our qulub, we will never be able to discuss or discover these things. So Sahib al-Jawahir discovered. He's one of the great personalities of ours. Min muftakharat al-Shia. One of those personalities upon which the Shia religion is proud to have a shakhsiyat like Sahib al-Jawahir rahmatullahi alayh. So he found that all the walls and the door and everything of Husayniyah is crying upon the khitab of this alim. So he went to him after the Majlis al-Aza ended. And he went to him and said, you know, I have written this book, Kitab al-Jawahir. Obviously, it's 56 volumes, a huge book, the biggest book of fiqh. Said, I am ready to give away the sawab of this entire book that I wrote to you if you can donate the sawab of this Majlis al-Aza, this Roze Khani, this majlis that you recited. If you will give the sawab of this one majlis to me, I am ready to give the sawab of the whole Jawahir that I wrote in 56 volumes to you. Can you imagine how much important it is in the eyes to be present in a majlis like this? Imam Husayn alayhi salam is the madhah of all the sifat and asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? Including Ya Muqallib al-Qulub wal-Absar, Ya Muhawwil al-Hawli wal-Ahwal. Isn't it right? Ya Mudabbir al-Layli wal-Nahar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who changes the hearts and the souls of the people. Some people get transformed. Very often we find people who are sinners, fasiq, they're not adil. The basic definition of adalat in Islam, Al-adalatul zahiriyya, how we say. Yeah, we have adalatul batiniyya, we have adalatul zahiriyya. The basic rock bottom daraja and level of adalat in our fiqh is that you perform ityanul wajibat wa ijtinabul muharramat. That you perform the wajibs and you abstain from the harams. That's the basic definition of adl. If I do not perform the wajibat, or if I perform the harams in my life, then I am a fasiq person until I do tawbah. And the fuqaha have mentioned that tarji'u al-adalatu bit-tawbah. If you do the tawbah, adalat returns back into the qalb. Adalat is a noor of Allah. It is found in the soul of a person. When you practice the ahkam of the shara, then this noor is there in your heart. If you don't practice, you don't do the wajibat, if you don't abstain, ijtinab from the muharramat, the harams, then a person is called fasiq. He is not called adil. So our scholars say that we find in the majalis al-aza and the majalis al-zikr, the gatherings where we talk about Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, the largest number of sinners get transformed. Taqleebul qulub. They get transformed and their souls are overhauled and shuffled and transformed into a pure and purified soul. So many people are sinners, but when they come, they learn things from Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the barakat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they learn it and they change and they do the tawbah and they change for good. Isn't that right? This is the barakat of the majalis of the zikr of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So this place is open for all. This is the drink of the zikr of Imam Hussein is a drink which is supposed to be for every human being. Every human can drink from the ma'idah, from the sufra of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Everyone can drink. Sheikh, we find that Sheikh Jafar Shustari rahmatullah alayhi was also like this. It's narrated in by our scholars that when he used to recite the Majlis al-Aza of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Darodivar giryami kardand. The doors and the walls of the Husainiyah used to cry along with him. Again, this is because of the ikhlas and taharat. Earlier, his majalis was not like this. It was not that effective. So he did istighasa and tawassul towards Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And he saw in the dream that there is a khayma and Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is there in the khayma. He went there to visit the Imam and requested to him. And Imam asked Habib ibn Mudahir salamullahi alayhi, to bring the sawiq for him. And he drank from that sawiq, and when he woke up, since after that, this serves like a mu'jiza for Ayatollah Sheikh Jafar al-Shustari. Since that event, it is narrated that his majalis gained that nuraniyat and barakat and effectiveness that he wanted. Please say salawat. So he can write the book Al-Khasa'is Al-Husayniyah. There are sifat and attributes that Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam has which no other ma'soom alayhi salam has. No one has those khasa'is. That's why we call it khasa'is. The specific attributes. No one has except Imam Husayn alayhi salam. And he has compiled in his book Al-Khasa'is Al-Husayniyah 69 khususiyat, 69 specific attributes of Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam, which are not found for any other ma'soom. According to some of the counts, it's 72. So those khasa'is are very important for us to learn and to... I will just mention 4 or 5 of those khasa'is tonight, inshallah. For you, as we are discussing, the one of the asar of the ma'rifat is the zikr of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. This for a person who has the ma'rifat of the Imam would love to do the zikr of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn and would love to participate in a gathering where the zikr of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is done properly and effectively. So we find that there is no person in the entire history who has a door of paradise named to him. We don't have any hadith that says there's a door in paradise which is called Babur Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Ma'ihtiram al-Rasul, and he's most superior of all the ma'sumeen alayhi wa sallam, and afdal from everyone else. But we don't have any hadith that says that inna lil jannati baban yuqalu lahu babur rasul. There is no hadith that says that paradise has a door which is called the door of the Prophet. There is no hadith that says, you know, that paradise has a door which is called Babu Ali alayhi salam. You know, obviously, Amir al-Mu'min wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. Is afdalul a'imma and the most superior person after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But we don't find the door in the paradise named after anyone else other than Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. So, and not just that, but also Bab al-Husayn awsa. That means the door which is called Bab al-Husayn, the door of Husayn, is the widest of all the rest of the doors of paradise. No door of the paradise is as wide as the door of Imam Husayn alayhi salam. And I already mentioned to you in the beginning that largest number of people who got hidayat and guidance was through Imam Husayn alayhi salam. This is his barakat of his personality. So we find that even after his shahada, our a'imma are all shuhada. They're all alive. Isn't it right? And they're all, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Don't think about those who died in the path of Allah to be dead. Instead, they are alive and they receive the risk from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words. So our a'imma alayhim salam are alive. Imam Husayn alayhi salam is providing, and his zikr is providing the hidayat and guidance even after his shahadat. He is still hadi ilallah. He is still guiding towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only person among the ma'sumeen alayhim salam for whom we have the, arba'een. Do you find for any ma'soom, it has been narrated any ziyarat of arba'een for any other ma'soom? Look at all the ummahatul kutub, the mother books of ad'iyah, of du'as and ziyarat, written by, you know, Shaykh Tusi or Sayyid ibn Ta'us, rahmatullahi alayhima, those great personalities who are the authors of the mother books of du'a and ziyarat. You never find any ziyarat, you know, that reached us about the arba'een of any ma'soom other than Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And not just that, but the arba'een of Sayyid al-Shuhada alayhi salam is considered to be alamat among the ala'imul mu'min. One of the five alamat of every mu'min, that he performs the ziyarat of arba'een. Isn't it right? So if we perform the ziyarat of arba'een in our life, this is one of the alamat, the signs that a person is a mu'min. So his ziyarat of arba'een serves as a symbol, an icon, iconic status in the eyes of Allah. This is an icon of Islam, icon of our iman. So we find that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, the first attribute which is there as according to the Mu'tabar hadith is that al-ijabatu du'a tahta qubbatihi. Du'a of a mu'min is accepted under the dome of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Do you have any du'a towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Obviously Allah can hear everywhere. Isn't it right? إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ مُجِيبٌ. He knows عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Even things that you have in your heart that you don't even speak about. Your tongue did not move to say, but you have thoughts and imaginations in the mind. Allah even knows that. He can hear everywhere. Isn't right? And nothing is hidden from Him. But Allah has provided أَزْمِنَا وَأَمْكِنَا, places and times which he likes. And if you want to attract the tawajjuh, the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has told us through the Imams, through the Ahlul Bayt, He has told us ways to attract His tawajjuh and His rahmat. And one of the ways to attract the tawajjuh and nazar and lutf and rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we go to places and we choose times where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the dua to happen. And one of those places is the place which is placed under the Qubba, under the dome of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. This is one of the mahbub, one of the beloved places in the eyes of Allah. Allah can listen everywhere. But now you are not, every land is mahbub. This land, this place, this spot is mahbub and beloved in the eyes of Allah. One person, Imam Al-Hadi, Imam Ali Al-Naqi Al-Hadi alayhi salam, asked a person to do the dua, and he said, you know, you are the Imam, you can do the dua yourself. And Imam replied, the similar thing that we are talking about. There are certain places, in other words, which Allah loves. So we learn in the hadith, in the light of the hadith, when you go and do the dua, in those places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this dua. That's the place where we are supposed to go. Allah loves for us to do the dua in those places. So you stand under the dome of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and ask from Allah. And it's a blank check from Allah. Ask whatever you want. In the ihtiram and the respect of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, Allah will answer your prayers. Please say salawat. So this is one of the specific attributes for Imam Hussain alayhi salam. We don't find this kind of behavior towards any other ma'soom. All the ma'soomeen are our greatest personalities. But you don't find this kind of khususiyat mentioned in the hadith for any other ma'soom. With respect to all of them. But this khususiyat is only for Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And the second thing that we need to remember is the fact that ash-shifa'u fi turbatihi. You can go for the ziyarat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in Najaf. You can go for the ziyarat of to Qadhimain, Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam, isn't it right? Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. You can go to Mashhad, Imam al-Rida alayhi salam. All of our greatest personalities. But it is haram in the shara, in the shari'at of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, to eat the soil of Mashhad. You cannot eat the soil of Mashhad. It's haram. If you go to Najaf, Al-Ashraf, it is haram to eat the soil from Najaf. But if you go to Karbala, or even if you don't go there, if you find the turbat of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, not only it is not haram, but Allah has provided shifa and cure for every illness in the turbat of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. This is one of the khususiyat, specific attribute of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. And not just that, but we provide the turbat to our newborn babies. The first thing we do when our children are born, we give them the turbat of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Hanniku awladakum bi turbat al-Husayn wa ma'il furat. Isn't it? The hadith says, so tahniq means that you take some turbat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and you dip it into the river Euphrates, river Furat. The river Furat is one of the holy rivers of Islam. I will call it holy and muqaddas because we have authentic hadith that tells us that malaika, we learn in the light of the hadith that malaika, the angels of Allah, throw down few drops from paradise every day into the river Furat. So it has contents from paradise that are added into the river every single day. And not just that, but also the river Furat is part of the mahar of Hazrat Fatimah al-Zahra salamullahi alayha. Muhammad. So this is one of the rivers that is basically owned not by us. No one can be the owner of River Furat, because Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, this is given by Allah to her. She's the owner of the River Furat. This is part of the mahr of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. Her aqd was recited in the heaven before it took place in the earth. And the River Furat is part of the mahr of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. So this is a very holy river for us. And we dip the turbat of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam in the water of Furat, which is a holy water for us, and we give it to our babies. The first thing that our children must eat when they are born is the turbat of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. Ash-shifa'u fi turbati. We don't find this kind of behavior towards any other masoom. For any other masoom, eating the turbat is haram. If you have any sickness, any kind of illness, this turbat is a shifa and cure for that. We have stories and stories and stories, qasas, from people who have been eating the turbat and they got the shifa. We need to remember that this is something which is very muqaddas in the eyes. You know, we have the fatwa of Imam al-Khumayni, ridwanullah alayh. It is not allowed, it is not ja'iz to put the turbat in your lower pocket, next to the private parts. This is ihanat of the turbat of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. If it is ihanat, it is haram. You have to put the turbat in the upper pocket in his fatwa. Well, this is not an ordinary turbat. This is ihtiram. So we need to respect the turbat of Imam al-Husayn. Please say salawat. So we find that the third thing that I would like to mention is that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is mukhtas, that the nasl of A'imma alayhim as-salatu wa salam continued through him instead of Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. So this hadith has been narrated from Salman al-Farisi rahmatullahi alayhi wa salamullahi alayhi, that he says that all the greatest ahadith, when the muhtawa is great and azim, you find that those ahadith are always, always narrated from the greatest of the ashab. It makes sense, isn't it, right? Because it's the tradition of Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa salam. They used to talk to the people according to their mental level. Inna ma'ashara al-anbiya umirna an nukallim an-nas ala qadri uqulihim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that we, the group of prophets, we have been commanded to talk to people according to their mental levels. So a prophet used to talk to Salman what, you know, Salman deserves to listen. When he talks to Salman, prophet is never going to talk to Abu Dharr rahmatullah alayhi, who belongs to a darajatul tasi'ah, ninth level of iman. That Prophet and Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhim as-salam wa ala alayhim as-salam, that they are going to talk to Abu Dharr, they are never going to talk to Miqdad ibn al-Aswad al-Kindi, who belongs to the eighth level of iman. Isn't that right? And what they are going to talk to Miqdad, they are never going to talk to Ammar ibn al-Yasir, who belongs to the seventh level of iman. Because you are not ahl to listen. Isn't it right? So we talk to people according to their satah of the zahn, their level of their understandings. It's very important when you talk to people, you don't talk to them more than what they deserve, and you don't talk to them less than what they deserve. If you talk to the people, your mukhatab, your audience, more than what they deserve, this is a mistake. This is almost an insult of the ilm, because you're giving the ilm to somebody who doesn't deserve to get. So don't talk to people more than what they deserve. And if you talk to people less than what they deserve, this is almost an insult to your mukhatab, because your mukhatab deserve to get more and you're giving them less. Isn't that right? So Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam has said in his hadith that la tu'alliqul jawahira في أعناق الخنازير. Don't hang the jawahir, the jewels, in the necks of the pigs. لا تعلق الجواهر في أعناق الخنازير. And the Shaheed al-Zani, rahmatullah alayhi, a great marji' from Lebanon, and doing the sharh of this hadith of Amir Mumin alayhi salam in his book Munyatul Murid fi Adab al-Mufid wal-Mustafid, Shaheed al-Zani says that Amir Mumin alayhi salam means from this hadith that don't teach the knowledge to the person who doesn't deserve. لكل شيء زكاة وزكاة العلم أن تعلمه أهله. Another hadith says, for everything there is a tax, for everything there is a zakat, and the zakat of knowledge is that you teach the knowledge to the person who deserves it. You don't teach the knowledge to the one who doesn't deserve to get. We never do that. So what I was saying is to you is that in the Islamic teachings, we find that all the great ahadith in their muhtawa and their contents are always, always narrated from the greatest ashab of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. And it makes perfect sense, because Prophet and Ahlul Bayt used to talk to the people to their according to their mental levels. So Salman al-Farisi and Abu Dharr and Miqdad have been narrating the greatest of the ahadith from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. If you are looking for the highest ma'arif, high-level teachings of Islam, look at the riwayat which are narrated by Salman al-Farisi. It should be like this. That's the way it was. So we find that when this person, one of the ashab, enters into the gathering, there was jalasat khususiyya. There were special sessions taking place. Special sessions where Salman al-Farisi used to sit with the Holy Prophet and Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam, and they used to teach him things. And in one incident, we find that one of the ashab enters into that gathering and Prophet became silent. He didn't say anything further. And this sahabi of the Prophet says, Ya Rasulullah, tell us what you were talking to Salman al-Farisi. And Prophet says that honey is harmful for the newborn babies. So Prophet didn't say a single word to that sahabi and became silent. So it is narrated that Ayatullah al-Ulma Sayyid Qadi al-Tabatabai, rahmatullahi alayh, the ustad of Allama al-Tabatabai, Sahib al-Mizan, his ustad, he is one of the greatest Urafa, probably one of the greatest four or one of the greatest five Urafa in the history of our religion. A great personality, Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Ali al-Qadi al-Tabatabai. One of the greatest personalities that we feel proud over a person like him. So he used to say, he used to deliver his own lectures and durus in Najaf. And some of the times, if there's a talib al-ilm, there's a student entering into the jalasa, into the gathering, and he doesn't have those hijabat, he can see the realities. So when he sees this person comes into the gathering, he used to change his subject. All of a sudden, the mawdu and the subject was changed. Now he is talking about the fawaid and the benefits of the ziyarat of Ashura in the gathering. All of a sudden. That's because there is one person entering into the gathering who doesn't deserve to learn. So he changes the mawdu. Sayyid Qadhi is a very great personality in Islam. He used to say that Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, وَعَجَّلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَرَجَهُ الشَّرِيفِ. So we have these 313 commanders of the Imam who will join at the Holy Kaaba when Imam alayhi salam will appear. And Sayyid al-Qadhi rahmatullah alayhi, al-Tabatabai rahmatullah alayhi, he used to say the Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, these are not the total number of his ashab. The total number of the ashab of Imam are way more. But these are the elite commanders of the Imam. 313 are the elite commanders. So They will reach the Kaaba and join the Imam ahead of everyone else. They are the closest personalities to the Imam. So Sayyid Qadi Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that Imam after the Dhuhr, when these people will join the Imam, Imam will say something to them. And these people will disperse on all various corners of the world. And after a while, they will all come back to the Holy Kaaba. And Sayyid Qadi Tabatabai Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, I know what Imam is going to say to those 313. So you can understand what kind of personalities we are talking about. How can a person know until he's part of the 313? Isn't it right? So he used to say, I know what Imam is going to say at that time. He knows already in advance. So what I was saying is that this is the hadith of Salman al-Farisi from the Holy Prophet, where he says that I saw that Imam Hussain was in the lap of Rasulullah. And Prophet was talking to Imam Hussain alayhi salam and saying, Anta Sayyid Abu Sada, Anta al-Imam Abu al-A'imma, Tis'atum min sulbika, Tasi'uhum qa'imuhum. Prophet said to Imam Hussain, Imam Hussain is a baby. Salman Farsi says Imam Hussain was in the lap of Rasulullah, and Prophet was addressing Imam Hussain alayhi salam and saying, you are the Sayyid Abu Sada, and you are the father of the leaders. Antal Imam Abul A'imma, you are the Imam and the father of the Imams. Tis'atun min sulbika, that means 9 Imams are from your lineage. Tasi'uhum Qa'imuhum, the 9th one among them is the Imam al-Qa'im alayhi salam, who is the riser. Please say salawat. Maraj al-Bahrain yaltaqiyan baynahuma barzakhul la yabghiyan. Surah al-Rahman has said, when Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam married Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, Prophet said the statement, marhaba ببحرين يلتقيان. So Prophet welcomed. Bahrain refers to obviously Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam wa Sayyida Zahra salamullahi alayhima. يخرج منهما اللؤلؤ والمرجان. There are several tafaseer among the Shia on that subject. And one of the aqwal says that Lu'lu and Marjan refers to Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Please say salawat. And another tafsir says that no, this is not the meaning which is meant. There's the ihtimal is that if it was for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, lu'lu, the word would have been al-lu'lu'an. If it was for Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Husayn, sighat al-tasniya. Instead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, yakhruju minhuma al-lu'lu'u wal-marjan. So another tafsir says, another call among the mufassireen, says that Lu'lu refers to Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam both, and Marjan refers to Sayyida Zainab salamullah alayha. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So we find that the nasl of A'imma alayhi salam continues from Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And the last khususiyat which I will mention tonight is the khususiyat that the ziyarat of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is unique in the eyes of Allah. You won't find this kind of khususiyat for any other Imam. Ziyarat of every Imam is one of the greatest things you can do in your life. But khususan the ziyarat of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. Khususan. Why? Because we learn that those ayyam, those days that you spend In the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, according to the hadith, the time that you spent in the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is not counted to be part of your life, your umr. So this period of ziyarat is basically extended in your lifetime. This is the khususiyat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. So if you go for 4 days for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, your life is, for example, 70 years. These 4 days are not counted in the eyes of Allah in your life. These are extra bonus that Allah is going to give you. This is, you never find for any other Imam. Ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is an extremely, extremely important issue. And some of the urafa say that basically in the light of the hadith we learn that I have only lived in those few days when I went for the ziyarat. The rest of the life doesn't count. Actual life that I lived was actually only those days when I visited the Imam Hussain alayhi salam. That's the real life of mine. And that's very good. It's a good perspective. Urafa always have a different perspective as the rest of the people, because they have the irfan and ma'rifat of the Imam. They will always talk from a different perspective as the ulama. Right? Because ulama talk from the books. They have studied from the books. But the urafa don't talk about the masmu'at and the mubsarat and the maktubat, the things which are written and things which are heard. The urafa talked about mashhudat, things that they have seen. In Farsi we say shinidan kay buat manande didan. Right? You cannot compare what you see with your eyes with what you hear from your ears. So obviously the urafa talk about things that they haqa'iq and realities that they have seen with their eyes in the kashf and shuhud and mushahadat. So obviously somebody who has seen that and he describes after seeing the realities that we have been talking about in the books and writing in the books but we never saw. An alim can talk about things that he read in the books but he himself never saw. Is that right? Whereas an arif, we wish that people only, followed our urafa in their lives. Because if a mujtahid is arif, then he is going to talk to you about things that he has seen in his life. Not only things which have been written in the books. So, ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, coming back to the point, is not counted to be part of the umr, part of the life of the person. This is something which is extra. This is a bonus from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that Prophet was expressing another riwayat in Kamil al-Ziyara. Kamil al-Ziyara is one of the mother books of ziyarat, written by Ibn Qulawayh, rahmatullahi alayhi, one of our great scholars. So it's such a great book. And in this narration has been narrated that the Prophet was expressing his love towards Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha was there. And she said to the Prophet, "Ma aksara i'jabaka bihadha al-sabi." How much you feel happy or good about this child? And Prophet said to her that this child is whoever is going to do the ziyarat of this child, he will have the sawab of one hajj from my hajj. So she expressed her surprise on this news. Hajj of Rasulullah. We are not talking about Hajj like performed like a person, a sinner like me. When we go for Hajj, we don't know whether our Hajj is accepted or not. Isn't it right? But Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is always accepted by Allah.
So when the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam has the sawab of the hajj of Rasulullah, it's a very big news and very big reward. So she expressed her surprise on that sawab. Prophet says, Prophet increased the sawab. And he says, two hajj from my hajj. That means whoever performed the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam will get the sawab of two hajj of Rasulullah. And she again expressed her ta'ajjub and surprise over this news. And Prophet again doubled the sawab for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And he says, four hajj. That means anyone who visits Imam Hussein alayhi salam will get the sawab of four hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this continued. She continuously kept expressing her surprise and ta'ajjub over this big sawab over the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And Prophet kept on doubling the reward. Until the narrayat says in Kamil Ziyarah that Prophet increased the sawab so much till he mentions 99 hajj of Rasulullah. That means one ziyarat of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam has the sawab of 90 hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we don't find this kind of reward for any other ziyarat, isn't it right? Ziyarat of Hussein, khususan has a special status in the eyes of Allah. Especially if you do the ziyarat in Khamis, in the Thursday night. In the Thursday night, we have authentic narrations there that talk about that. We learn from those riwayat that anyone who performs the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the Thursday night, the Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha gives her the license for the Jannat and Paradise. Please say salawat. The ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, obviously with the ma'rifat. Not a ziyarat without arifan bihaqqihi. Even the hadith has mentioned the condition. Arifan bihaqqihi. That means you must have the ma'rifat and shanakht of the haqq of walayat of Hussein ibn Ali and Baqiyat al-Aimma alayhi salatu wa salam. With the ma'rifat of the walayat, if you go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein, you perform the ziyarat on one Thursday night, even one ziyarat is enough for a person. If he has the ma'rifat of the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, one ziyarat on Thursday night is enough for him to go to the Jannat. So this is the azamat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And it has to be like this. It has to be like this. Because Imam Hussein alayhi salam gave away everything of his for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not spare nothing. Everything that he had, he gave away to Allah. He did not spare his ashab. Isn't it right? He did not spare, although his ashab were the best of all the ashab. إِنِّي لَا أَرَى أَصْحَابًا أَوْفَى مِنْ أَصْحَابِي. Isn't it right? I don't see the companions. That means no one has companions more faithful than my companions. وَلَا أَهْلَ بَيْتٍ أَبَرْ وَأَوْفَى مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. Nor do I see the family members, Ahlul Bayt, more good doers and more faithful than my Ahlul Bayt. Well, he sacrifices his ashab, he sacrifices his own children, he sacrifices Ali ibn al-Akbar. How much mahbub is Ali ibn al-Akbar in his eyes? We cannot imagine. He sacrificed Ali ibn al-Asghar radhi. Isn't it right? He did not even spare a 6-month-old baby for the sake of Allah. Husayn minni wa ana min Husayn. That means the Rasalat of Rasulullah becomes alive It remains and survives because of the walayat of Hussein alayhi salam. This is what we learn in the light of the hadith, Hussein minni wa ana min Hussein. Risalat of Rasulullah survives because of the walayat and imamat and khilafat of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. Because of him, Risalat survives. The message of Prophet remains there because of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So he sacrificed everything that he had, you know, and we find that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he's departing the city of Medina, and Walid la'antullah alayhi called him into the darbar and asked for the bay'at of Yazid ibn Muawiyah la'antullahi alayhima. And we find that when Imam Hussein alayhi salam shows up in the darbar and he addresses the governor of Yazid, Ayyuhal Amir, Inna Ahlu Baytin Nubuwa, Wa Ma'din al Risala, Wa Mukhtalifu al Malaika, Wa Mahbatu al Wahi, Bina Fatahallah, Wa Bina Yakhtim. Isn't it right? So Imam Hussein is introducing himself and his family towards the governor of Yazid. You know, we are the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophethood, and we are the place where the angels descend. Wa mukhtalif al malaika wa mahbit al wahi. So in this household, the wahi and revelation of Allah comes down. In other words, and he says after his introduction, wa Yazidu rajulun sharibul khamar. Yazid is a person who drinks khamar. وَقَاتِلُ النَّفْسِ الْمُحْتَرَمَةِ He is the killer of the sacred life. مُعْلِنٌ بِالْفِسْقِ He openly performs the haram. See, if a person performs haram in the khalwat in Islam, obviously it's haram. Haram is still haram, but it is different. But if you perform a haram, لا سمح الله, in the open, it is way more condemned in Islam. You are also not only yourself doing a haram, but you are encouraging the society to do the same haram because you are openly doing it. We don't have any ghibat for a person who openly performs. إِذَا جَاهَرَ الْفَاسِقُ The hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, إِذَا جَاهَرَ الْفَاسِقُ بِفِسْقِهِ فَلَا حُرْمَةَ لَهُ وَلَا غِيبَةَ If a fasiq openly performs his fisq, a person who openly commits a haram, there is no khurmat and respect for him, and there is no ghibat about him. So if a woman doesn't wear hijab openly in the shopping mall, you know, well, we find there are some people who do the hijab in the center. When we go to their workplace, you go to the schools and universities, when you go to the shopping mall, you can't even recognize this is the same lady that we saw in the Husayniyah or the Masjid. Isn't it right? So a hijabi is a hijabi all the time. Isn't it right? So if we fear, if we have taqwa, if we do the hijab for the sake of Allah and the taqwa and the fear of Allah, then we do the hijab all the time. Isn't it right? So we cannot shave our beard when we go to the job and the workplace to please the employer. Isn't it right? And when we come to the center in the month of Ramadan and we put it back. So if a person fears Allah, he always fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? So we find that Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, وَيَزِيدُ رَجُلٌ شَارِبُ الْخَمَرْ قَاتِلُ النَّفْسِ الْمُحْتَرَمَةِ مُعْلِنٌ بِالْفِسْقِ He openly commits the haram. وَمِثْلِ لَا يُبَايعُ مِثْلَهُ And a person like me cannot do the bay'at of a person like him. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam rejects the bay'at of Yazid ibn Muawiyah openly and bluntly. And we find that Marwan la'anatullah alayhi was there and he asked Walid to kill Imam Hussein, because if you don't kill him right now, then a lot of bloodshed will happen before you can, you know, finish this job. And Imam Hussein al-Salam said, Anta taqtuluni am huwa. So we find This is the shahamat and shuja'at of Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam. How he's talking to his enemies without any scare. So we find that Imam Husayn alayhi salam returns back from the darbar and he tells his family members, he tells his family that he's going to, you know, leave the city, in other words. And we find that's why Abdullah ibn Sanan al-Kufi, he says, I entered into the city of Medina. Abdullah ibn Sanan says, I entered into the city of Medina on the same day when Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam was leaving his watan. The watan of the hometown of Imam al-Husayn is Medina. That's where he's born. That's his city. So Abdullah ibn Sanan says, I entered into the city on the same day when the son of Rasulullah was leaving his home. And I asked the people, where is the house of the Imam? And I went there to the Imam's house. Obviously, Imam Husayn alayhi salam did the ziyarat, ziyaratul wida. So he's leaving the city of Medina. He went for the ziyarat of his grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Went to the qabr of Rasulullah to say his last salam at the qabr. So Imam Husayn visits, performs the ziyarat of his grandfather, and then he goes to the ziyarat of his brother, Imam al-Hasan al-Mustafa alayhi salam, says his last salam to the qabr, at the qabr of his brother. And then finally, he visits, the narration says, he visits his mother's grave, Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. And some of the scholars have narrated that when Imam Husayn comes to the grave of his mother, he rushes towards the grave just like a child rushes towards his mother. How much Imam Husayn loves his mother and how much his mother loves Imam Husayn. So this is the time when Imam Husayn, after the ziyarat, now he's planning to leave his house. And Abdullah ibn Sanan says, I saw when I reached the house of Imam Husayn, I saw that there are line of camels being brought, one after the other. And one camel is loaded with the things, necessary things that we need for the travel. And then camel moves forward. Another camel comes. And one of the ladies of Ahlul Haram, they come out. One of the ladies of Ahlul Bayt, and she's helped by some people to ride over the back of the camel. One young boy comes forward and he helps this lady to ride over the back of the camel. And then he says, the camel moves forward. And the second camel is brought forward. And another lady comes out. Another lady, I asked, who is this lady who came? And I was told, this is Ummu Farwa, the mother of Qasim ibn al-Hasan. And this young boy who was helping her is her own son, Qasim ibn al-Hasan, who is helping his mother to ride the camel. And Abdullah ibn Sanan says, then I saw another camel is come brought forward. Another lady comes out. And she's riding the next camel. Another young boy comes forward and he helps, and so forth. Every lady is riding until I found that a lady comes to ride the camel, and all those youth and all those, you know, young persons of the Ahlul Bayt, everybody moves forward to help this lady. And I inquired that who is this lady who receives this kind of respect from everyone? And I was told, this is the younger daughter of Ali alayhi salam. This is Ummu Kulthum salamullah alayha. So she was helped by all those people who were helping. And now finally he says, I found another naqa, another camel was brought, and a lady comes out of the khaymah. And Imam Husayn was sitting outside the khaymah. So when this lady comes out, all of a sudden, Imam Husayn stands up in the respect of this lady. And everyone who was there, somebody picks up the curtain, somebody straightens the na'alain, somebody puts his knee so that the lady can, you know, step over it, somebody holds the hand of the lady to, so that she can ride over the camel comfortably. And I asked, who is this lady? And I was told, this is the elder daughter of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyida Zainab salamullah alayha. Look at how Imam al-Hussein stand up in the respect of Hazrat Zainab. So we find this is the time when in Medina Imam Hussein is departing his hometown. But finally, on the 11th of Muharram al-Haram, when we find after the Maqtal, when Hazrat Zainab, then the Qafila is now moving towards Kufa, we find Hazrat Zainab is the one who herself is helping all the people to ride over their maraqib and animals. She helped Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. She's the one who helped Hazrat Fidda salamullah alayha. And after helping everyone else, now she's the only person who is standing alone in the Maidan of Karbala. She's the only person standing alone, and there's no one to help her. And finally, at that final moment, she did not call for help from anyone else. She did not turn towards Imam al-Hussein. She did not turn towards Aun and Muhammad, her own two children who became shaheed. She did not turn towards Ali al-Akbar to come and help her. She actually turned towards Abul Fadl Abbas, you know, seeking help. She recalled Abul Fadl Abbas. He's the one who helped Hazrat Zainab to ride at the time when she was departing Medina. This is the time Hazrat Zainab is recalling Abul Fadl Abbas. Ala rahmatullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. فسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين نصيب الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين يا حسين.